This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just a quick correction. The Manny Fry Show. Welcome in. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Annie Fry on this Wednesday. Hello, boys.
Hello, Ryan. We are all men.
Yeah. Yesterday it was Brad, and Ryan. Now it's Ryan, Ryan, and Brad.
It goes around the other way. Well, there's quite the stir at the studios here, so I get the opportunity to fill in once in a while, and I'm here at a station in Detroit, and in the building today is Hulk Hogan. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of people around wanting to get a view of the Hulkster. And I think Brad said I should go up to him and ask him to rip my shirt in half. So that would have been
a
fun thing
suggestion.
To do.
I haven't heard that.
Wouldn't that be a great experience to, you know, you walk around and you look like you just went, you know, on a deserted island for a year. And, hey, why is your shirt ripped? Oh, yeah. Well, I asked Hulk Hogan to do it for me. That would be the nice reversal. And I got to imagine he's been asked to do that in the past. But if not, that would be quite the thing. So we got so much that we're going to be covering here. And I got to tell you that I am just thrilled that I get this opportunity to do it with you. I don't even know where to start because there's just so much going on. We have a visit from Benjamin Netanyahu, and we know that Vice President Kamala Harris, who wants to be president of the United States, decided she's going to skip out on that. That seems pretty disrespectful, all things considered, if you want to be the leader of the country. And I think that sets the tone for what the platform of the Democrats are going to be. One of the big things that they talk about is that, hey, look at Kamala Harris's voting record when she was in the Senate. She was even further left than Bernie Sanders. She was the furthest left senator. And I think this goes to show you she's going to side with those that are out there chanting from the rivers to the sea. This should be a big wake-up call for, I think, any of the moderate Democrats out there that do support Israel, that this is the person that's going to be representing your party, and this is the tone they're going to be setting. And it seems like what Nancy Pelosi and some of these other politicians are going to skip out on it, too. I remember, I want to say it was the last time Benjamin Netanyahu was here. Was it during the Obama administration? Unless I'm forgetting one. But he spoke to a joint session of Congress, and it was one of the best speeches. It was a fantastic speech. I'm expecting something similar to that. And I've seen some opinion pieces that are saying, hey, if you're going to go up there, you got to tell the politicians in the United States, it's a two-part solution, right? Two-state solution. Yes. That's what he should make that argument. You can't just go out there and say you're going to give Hamas, a terrorist organization, all the leeway to continue to be terrorists. And I don't even know if a two-state solution is even possible at this point, because that's not what they want. But if you're Benjamin Netanyahu, I don't know what that message is going to be, but I think part of the message is I'm very disappointed that people that want to be the leader of your country don't support Israel, one of your greatest allies.
Yeah, this is a weird move for Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. because this is an opportunity for her to do things a little differently, to say, hey, I'm going to separate myself now from Joe Biden and make a statement. This was the first opportunity for her to do that. And she's doing the opposite. She's actually painting herself into a corner because Donald Trump's already saying, look, she is more radical than Joe Biden even is. Well, this is the kind of thing a radical does, is skips out on a major meeting like this. And so not only is it a political miscalculation, but it is a surprise that not just on a presidential level, because it's not just is she looking presidential, but she's alienating. I mean, she's kind of in a tough spot, but she's going to alienate somebody. You got to pick who you're going to alienate, and she's chosen the wrong side.
Yeah, are we sure this is a political miscalculation, though? Because she seems to be full on leaning into that wing of her party. It is Democrats that have been out there, the more radical areas of Democrats that have been out there marching for Palestine and pro Hamas, even sometimes. It's been them that's been out there marching. And is she doing the political calculus, or is her campaign doing the political calculus where they look at it and they say, hey, there's more of these people than there are Jewish people, so we're going to pander to them instead of the Jewish people?
Well, part of what I thought was, is it possible that, you know, the DNC convention's coming up. I'm sure they're worried about protests. Is this her way of trying to stop some of the anticipated protests outside of the convention?
I don't know. I'm really glad that you mentioned that, Ryan Recker, because Wiggins America today is all about the convention and being in Chicago. And I don't know if we lost you from the stream there, buddy.
But, oh, I think so. Sorry.
But that's okay. We'll get you back in a second. But yeah, that's what we're going to talk about is the DNC, because the optics are a huge part of this. And the moves that Chicago/Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, are making right now, I don't know that you could cover up everything. Well, it's kind of a mess. Yeah.
But here's the thing, though, too, with that organization, that group of protesters, whenever you give them what they want, you don't get less protests, you get more.
That's true. That's very true.
So what I think, even if she's trying to pander them, what she's going to do is embolden them, not, you know, discourage them from protesting.
Are you, let me read you another headline from the New York Post ahead of Benjamin Netanyahu's visit. An address today says anti-Israel protesters claim to have unleashed maggots and crickets at Israeli delegation's hotel ahead of Netanyahu's speech. That's who you're dealing with. How do you have a rational conversation with anyone like that? Is it even possible?
Maggots and crickets. Now, are we talking about on a mass scale? Because I'm picturing them like unleashing a little matchbox and being like, ha ha ha, I've done it. what was their move here?
I think their move is to make them as uncomfortable as possible. And, you know, part of what they do is when they sing this, you know, from the rivers to the sea or whatever it is, I think they actually equate to Jews this way. They look at them as maggots, right? They look at them as subhuman, kind of like during the Holocaust, you're looked at as subhuman. And that's what a lot of these protesters that are siding with the terrorist organization Hamas will do. And a lot of these politicians go out there and they'll sing the same slogans that these people sing. So I think it's totally a viable criticism that they are probably also feeling the same way about an entire class of people when it comes to Jews, which is very concerning that Kamala Harris, who's going to be the head of the Democratic Party, also signs with those people too. And if you were to ask her directly her thoughts on this sort of thing, I'm going to guess she's going to subvert that and not answer directly that she stands with Jewish people.
You know, right when October 7th happened, in the immediate aftermath of that last year, I was driving down 64 here. I think I was going into Illinois, and I saw somebody drive by with a license plate that said something around the license plate about pro-Palestine. And it was clearly not new. Like, you could tell that this was not a new thing. And it's a reminder that these kind of protests, whether it be this one, whether it be, you know, some of the random protests that we have in this country now, that you shake your head, you go, what is that? These things are not new. They've always happened. The difference is now entirely the Democrat leadership now embraces those movements. Now, they don't necessarily always fully bring them in, but they allow them space to speak. And they say, well, we need to respect the wishes of these crazy protesters in ways that we've never had before. And that's partially the media, too. But I really think this one is Democrat leadership is allowing breathing room for a lot of these protests that would have just been completely thrown off the side before.
Okay, I'm going to give you an equivalent, and this is where I think this is partially the media as well. So if you remember back in the 2016 campaign, David Duke came forward and said, I support Donald Trump. And what happened to every interview Donald Trump gave? The person that asked them the questions, or the interviewer, would say, do you disavow the KKK support? Every single person. And guess what? Every time Donald Trump did, when a reporter or a journalist sits down with, let's say, a Kamala Harris or someone that is a representation of her, one of her surrogates in the future, you better believe they are told by their people, in order for you to talk to her, you're not allowed to ask about this. I not that I have any ability to like hack into their emails to see what their demands are, but I can say this with 99% certainty. There are conditions based on these interviews, because it's always been that MO with the Biden administration. So what if, let's say, back in 2016, they looked at, let's say, white supremacist vote to Donald Trump and tried to equate him to being a white supremacist to say that, oh, these people support you, thus you are one. What are the odds that journalists are going to use a topic like this and then also put the same pressure on Kamala Harris? I'm going to say that it's close to 1% or less will actually bring this sort of thing up to her. And Maybe they should bring this up to her. If you want to talk about fairness in media, maybe they should bring this up and say, I really need to hear you say that you don't want to see Jews eradicated from this world, because she will not just say it outright unless she's pressured to. And she might not even answer at that point if given direct access to that question.
Yeah, people don't do, like, Kamala won't do those interviews. I mean, whenever she does those interviews, Lester Holt's a great one. You know, and Lester Holt's supposed to be a quote-unquote Republican. I've never seen a whole lot from him that suggests that, but you know, that would be one of the more mainstream kind of middle ground interviews she's ever done, and she totally botched it. So she's just not very good at those. Biden wasn't either. And to your point, Ryan, just, I think it was, things move so fast, I can't remember if this was last week or if this was 2 weeks ago now, but Joe Biden was doing interviews, I think this was just last week, with radio stations in...
It's the week before.
Was it the week before? In the Rust Belt. And we found out later that those interviews were not only... Did they have the questions ahead of time?
Right.
But they edited the interviews afterward to take things out that were unflattering to him.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's not just ahead of time, like, hey, stay away from these subjects. It's like, here's your note card, read it, we'll edit it afterward.
Right. Can we play some clips from Kamala Harris? And by the way, the people that were conducting those interviews were fired, and rightfully so. If you are pre-screening, there's one thing to say, here's the scope of what the interview is going to be, meaning we want to just talk to you about certain things, but to give the exact question based on what the administration wants you to ask them, saying, here's the question in literal verbatim, what we want you to say to Joe Biden. And they say, okay, we agree to that. That is just so bad. But, and that's exactly what happened. They got fired for it once they got, found out about. So let's look at this one thing. So yesterday, I believe, and Michigan's one of those states, but some states have got the Democrats together to try to see if they have enough delegates to support Kamala Harris. Can we play clip number two?
So, Wisconsin, I am told as of this morning that we have earned the support of enough delegates to secure the Democratic nomination.
Okay, so use the word earned. Did she earn it? Did she? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's the way this works. She earned it. I don't know why you'd even question that. This is clearly the people's choice, Ryan.
Has Joe Biden officially released those delegates?
I think he does said that, on Twitter, I mean, he's going to support
that,
her. I don't know.
Does that letter count? I mean, because, like, it's my understanding that those delegates are pledged to the winner of the Democrat primary. Mm-hmm. And until that winner officially releases those delegates, they're bound to that Joe Biden. So I think it's just, paperwork at this point. He's going to release them, but I'm just curious if he's released them yet or what's going on here.
So on a technicality, it's just basically what the party is saying, right? So they can say whatever they want. It's their pledge. It's more of a pledge than anything else. And then Kamala Harris took some time to hit on Donald Trump. Can we play clip one?
So as Leah told you, before I was elected vice president, before I was elected United States Senator, I was elected Attorney General of the state of California, and I was a courtroom prosecutor before then. And in those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
You know, the interesting thing about this is, remember when Tulsi Gabbard ripped her apart for her prosecution of marijuana law, and her running on being, hey, I have history as a prosecutor, may backfire just a little bit there, because then they're going to also be reminded of what Tulsi Gabbard pointed out and completely embarrassed her on a stage. And who's to say Donald Trump won't do the same if they get a chance to debate? I don't think I've actually heard they're going to, but I hope that standing date will mean that those two are going to get at it.
You know, what's weird is it's really one of the only things in her political history that's good, that she prosecuted crime, and the left hates that about her. That's incredible. We should take a step back and just acknowledge that is a good thing,
but,
to prosecute crime, and yet it's going to hurt her politically.
Well, part of the reason that it hurt her so bad whenever Gabbard went after her was she was doing things like hiding evidence to keep people from getting out. You needed to really fight to get exculpatory evidence out to get these actually innocent men.
It was all insider baseball in her office.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. I mean, you want a prosecutor, but you want a prosecutor that's going to be just. So if somebody's innocent, they don't prosecute innocent people. But if somebody's guilty, they prosecute somebody that's guilty. And if something shows up that says, oh, we got this wrong, then you work as fast and as hard as you can to get it right and to make it right.
You know, I don't think we mentioned the YouTube live chat poll. We better do that before we go to the first break. So if people are online watching this right now on YouTube, they have that chance to vote in the chat poll. What is the poll today?
Sure. Which of these will have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? You have four choices: illegal immigration, economy, personality, or other. And you can comment in the chat there.
All right. Greatest impact on the presidential race. Ooh, boy, I think I have my favorite, or at least the one I think will probably be the favorite in this one. But you know what? I got to tell you, the last time I filled in last week, Ryan Wiggins, you said, I think this is the precursor to Joe Biden stepping down, the COVID diagnosis. You were so right, and I was wrong. I on the show last week, I said, you know what? Joe Biden is so old and stubborn. He is not going to. He's got a tight grip on that thing, and it's. Remember what Charlton Heston said during the RNC convention? It was from my cold, dead hands. I thought that's what Joe Biden was going to say to the presidency and running for the Democratic Party. That is not the case. I guess we'll hear from him tonight. He does have a live speech, Joe Biden does tonight,
yes,
from the Oval Office. So that's a big one. Are you going to be airing that
tonight? Yeah, we'll be airing that tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time. So tune in to 97.1 to hear the president's remarks.
If it's on time. Now, we don't know if it is, but if it is on time. So this is, or it could be pre-recorded as far as we know.
Yeah.
It'll be on time.
Hey, we'll be on time. So,
right. If it starts right at the time they say it will be, then odds are it's pre-recorded.
Yeah.
When we come back, do you hear what Donald Trump said? He said that President Obama can't stand Joe Biden. I like this. All right. More beef here. The Clintons hate the Obamas. The Obamas hate the Clintons. Everybody hates the Bidens, it sounds like. I'm Ryan Ricker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Ricker, filling in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, the YouTube live chat poll. Which of these will have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? Illegal immigration, the economy, personality, or other? Leave a comment for that one. Go vote now. We'll put the results at the end of the show. Does it surprise you that perhaps the Obamas hate the Bidens? Does that surprise you at all? To me, it's just a little surprising, right? Because they were running mates. They worked together. But does it also show you that, I guess, the Democratic Party in a way, or maybe this is all a politics, it's just all a lie. You know, you put on a smile, you put on a happy face, and you pretend to like things you don't. And that's what politics is all about. But I think that if you truly hated someone, then you wouldn't go out there and pretend like your best buddies.
Yeah, it does surprise me a little bit. Although it is all politics, because the McCains and the Bushes hate Trump. You know, it's all politics. The next person that comes along is going to be disliked, most likely. But you're right. This is the same administration. So it does surprise you a little bit that they dislike each other so much. But Kamala and Biden are supposed to be mortal enemies, too. So this whole process, even the speech tonight, it all feels very manufactured.
I feel like the Biden-Obama drama is kind of like Barack Obama feels like he made Joe Biden's career. Like Joe Biden was just going to be an obscure senator who was there forever. And he feels like, well, I elevated him to this position and he's a complete screw up. And then Joe Biden is like any other person that has amassed a lot of power. He's like, hey, you didn't make me. I made me. I'm made man. Jack. and he resents Obama's resentment. And so they hate one another because of that.
There could be some of that going on. Maybe that Obama feels like, I laid this up to you on a silver platter and you screwed it up so bad that, let's say, the polling comes out. Remember when the polling came out and said Michelle Obama's polling better than Joe Biden? And I guess a Barack would probably look at that and say, after everything I gave you, still the non-politician first lady would beat you. This is ridiculous. So that's how unpopular Joe Biden's been. I haven't checked his popularity rating lately. Has there been one in the recent weeks? I should probably see where his approval rating's sitting right now. I'm guessing it's still in the mid-30s, where it's been sitting for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think that's moved. It was in the mid, yeah, like 33 to 36. Historically low, terribly low.
Yeah. But no, he's sharp as a tack and truly loved within his party that everyone was rallying around until they didn't. And all the delegates jumped ship as fast as they could. All right. So there could be a challenge on that. There also could be a challenge on the funding, the money that came in. But I think the greatest appeal of Kamala Harris was, hey, we can transfer all this money over fairly quickly, launder it from one candidate to another. I don't think it was so much about using Kamala Harris in the training ground, meaning that her role as vice president was meant to train her to take a higher office. Let's see, president of the United States. I don't think that was the case at all. I think really it's just perhaps the easiest thing to do this close to the election because they really can't figure out a way to do this smoothly with anyone else. So they just have to do it this way. And the Democrats realize that through their hatred of Donald Trump, that, you know what, they better put on that smile and pretend they really like her. And they better pretend they don't hate her laugh. You'll hear that over and over and over again. Can we play that clip from Donald Trump about the Obama's hating Biden? I think this is clip number 4, I believe. Yeah, clip 4.
First of all, Obama hates Biden and Biden hates Obama. And when Obama walked Biden out a couple of weeks ago off the stage, he didn't have to do that. He could have let him wave to the people a little bit longer. I don't know if Joe knew who he was waving to, but he was waving. And all of a sudden, Obama comes along, grabs him. Come on, Joe. Like he was a child. It made him look so bad. And I know people with Biden. I know people with Obama. And they were not happy about that. It made him look really bad, like a child. Like a child. They don't like each other.
Okay. We're talking about, yeah, that moment in L.A. when they're doing that big fundraiser with celebrities. Now, keep in mind, they try to spin that, the Democrats saying, oh, there's nothing weird about this, that a old senile man needed help off the stage because he probably didn't know what was going on. And they had to escort him out, much like they would someone at a nursing home. I think that everyone saw that and they came to that same conclusion. So it shouldn't be too shocking what Donald Trump is saying there when it comes to Obama helping off the stage. Do you think that, okay, what would it take, let's say, for some of these types to fully turn their back on Joe Biden? Meaning, let's say Kamala Harris loses, Donald Trump's in office. Would they finally start talking trash about just how terrible this administration was? Will they use that as the springboard to move forward? Or do you think they're going to revere them on the highest pedestal forever because they just want to keep playing this game?
Oh, no, that book's already been written. That book is written now. Actually,
just waiting to be published.
Yeah, they're just adding a couple chapters to it at the end here because they're like, oh, we didn't expect this and that. But yeah. That book is waiting to be published by insiders because it is a disaster. And they all knew that Joe Biden was going to lose. I think we're going to have a week or so, maybe a couple until the DNC where they think, well, maybe Kamala's got a chance, you know, but I'm sure we're going to talk about polling later because it's on the show sheet. And, you know, all of us have been following this. But I can't wait to talk about polling because it's not what you think it is. And it's definitely not the headlines you've seen in the last couple of days.
Right. I mentioned this on Twitter, and I think you saw this, Wiggins. I wish WikiLeaks was still around. Could you imagine all the trove of information we could be reading about right now if WikiLeaks would just do a dump on the Biden administration? I want to see it so bad, the behind the scenes of what's going on here. This has been the least transparent administration that I can imagine, or can think of, I should say. And to figure out that, hey, yeah, you know, behind the scenes, they are looking at this in full panic mode. I just want a full confirmation of the truth. I just want to stop hearing the lies from the Democratic Party that everything's okay and everything's great. I want to see it for what it is and the truth of what's going on, because I'm just getting tired of this nonsense that they look at Joe Biden as the sharpest person in the room. I just want to see them for who they are to finally admit the truth, as opposed to what they're telling in front of cameras, which are lies.
Yeah, it's amazing, Ryan, like you said, though, that they've tried so hard to conceal so much, but all of it seems to be coming out. And I say all of it, assuming there's not any more. There probably is a lot more. But the things that we know, they tried to conceal his dementia for 4 years. And then the debate happened, and they said, well, I guess the cat's out of the bag. I guess we can't really do that anymore. And they tried to conceal some of their business problems and the money they were receiving from overseas. The president's son left a laptop, and now everybody sees it. Like, all this stuff, they've tried to conceal. They've started numerous shell companies to launder money. It's all out in the open. They tried using the deep state to protect them. IRS whistleblowers came out and told Congress. Like, over and over and over, they've tried to bury all of their misdeeds, and they keep coming out.
Well, even after the debate, they were trying to say, this is just one night. It was just a bad night. He just had a bad night.
And he had a cold.
They tried. Yeah, he had a cold. Oh, he was jet lagged from the trip that was 12 days prior to. Yeah. They said all of those things, and then Biden went on his redemption tour and crapped the bed again.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, the jig is up. We're done. This is over.
I think Greg Gutfeld said it best, but basically he said the media wasn't angry that the president of the United States, the person that they've been covering for, was acting the way they did. They were angry that you, the people, finally got a chance to see what they already knew, because they were covering for them for so long. It almost became second nature for them to come up with excuses for them. I think that's exactly what happened. A lot of people woke up and figured out what was up there, and will continue to do that. All right, we have Wiggins America coming up here in a couple of minutes. These are always super awesome segments, and I know that we'll probably talk about some other things throughout the course of the show. Don't forget to go vote on the YouTube live chat poll. Which of these have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? Illegal immigration, economy, personality, or other? Leave a comment for that one. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on 97.1 FM Talk.
But then I know.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. You can find me online, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook, or at Ryan Recker on Twitter. Go vote in that YouTube poll. But whenever I get to fill in, I really much enjoy this segment. It's with Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins. Yeah, so the DNC, the Democrat National Convention, will be in a couple weeks. And the speculation was, we're going to have an open primary. You know, then this is the headline news of the day, that the Rules Committee for the Democratic National Convention will meet Wednesday, as in today, to formalize the nomination process for the presidential nominee, which is going to be Kamala Harris. That's my editorial add to this. The article doesn't say that. All of this comes less than a month from the start of the DNC in Chicago. And as we were speculating, it does look like they're not going to have any floor votes or anything. By the time we actually see the presentation, it will all be done, because 2 weeks from today is August 7th. They're going to have the roll call vote done by then. So we will have an official DNC or a Democrat nominee sometime probably before August 7th. So there's your headline.
That's because of the deadline in Ohio?
Yeah, it has to do with making sure she gets on the ballot in Ohio mainly, because it was barely going to miss the deadline. So it's that stuff. But they had talked about delaying it anyway. I think Ohio is going to play ball with them, but whatever. So it's going to be in Chicago in less than a month. It's going to be headline news, just like we just did the RNC all week last week. We'll be covering the DNC that week. And I wanted to dig in, Ryan Recker, into a few stories that may actually be running parallel to whatever's happening on the stage. You ready for these?
Sure. I have one parallel before you start, if you don't mind. You know, the Democrats will show up to Chicago and they'll say, those anti-Israel protesters unleashed maggots and crickets in the hotels here, too. And they'll say, no, that's just what happens in Chicago.
Those are just Chicago.
That's the only
crickets
parallel
and maggots
right now. Yeah. No, that's. That's just Chicago. Yeah, it probably wasn't protesters.
We just left a roast chicken in the trash can too long, so we got maggots. You know, that's just what happens. So actually, that is not one of the stories, surprisingly. And it has nothing to do, because the protesters, the anti-Israel protesters, could very much be a part of this. But that's not one of my stories. So I'm glad you brought that one up. How about this one?
Okay.
Ahead, and this is from the Chicago Sun-Times. So I'm doing a lot of local news here. Ahead of the DNC, Brandon Johnson is putting homeless people back on the street to make room for different homeless people.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so I don't understand. So the homeless that are there are privileged, so they need to get a privilege check?
So I'll read it to you, and then I'll explain if it doesn't come across. Mayor Brandon Johnson's administration is putting unhoused people, I like that they're being politically correct, unhoused people back on the streets to make room for relocated tent encampment occupants who are being moved before the Democrat National Convention next month. So if you can read between the lines here, what's happening is anybody who is homeless near where the DNC is going to be, they're getting moved. Well, to do that, they have to kick other homeless people out of homeless shelters to put the new homeless people in them.
He's like a 14-year-old cleaning his room. Just stuff everything in the closet and close the door.
Yes. Yes.
Well, they're going to have to. You're smart. Hey, homeless people, if you're smart, go from the shelter and just set up camp by the DNC, because they'll put you right back in that shelter. You just have to relocate yourself.
Exactly.
And then relocate you in a shelter.
Yeah. More than a half dozen people told the Chicago Sun-Times that they were thrown out or fear they're about to be ejected from a shelter in a former hotel off the Magnificent Mile as city officials begin to clear a highly visible tent city abutting the Dan Ryan Expressway. So there you go. There's your first one. If you're curious as to how the city's going to handle the DNC, it really reminds you of when Governor Gavin Newsom of Chicago cleaned up California ahead of the president or the dictator of China showing up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Oh, that's exactly what it is. The dictator of the DNC is coming to town. You got to clean things up.
That's right, because she was not selected. She was selected. She wasn't elected. All right, the next one.
Yeah,
based on that, just another problem that may be cropping up here in the next couple weeks. This is from the Chicago Tribune. Chicago leaders brace for as many as 25,000 new migrants ahead of the DNC. We just need to be prepared, is what the headline says. Chicago is bracing for as many as 25,000 illegal immigrants. I said illegal immigrants. The article says migrants. So, sorry about that. To arrive by bus ahead of the Democrat National Convention by August 19th, the high-end estimate from Deputy Mayor of Immigration Beatrice Ponce de Leon came as Mayor Brandon Johnson's administration defended its policy of evicting migrants who stay in city shelters longer than 60 days. The reason that this is happening, do you know why this is happening? 25,000 new illegal immigrants might be showing up in Chicago, Ryan Recker?
Well, is it to have maybe Texas is saying, you know what, we got another busload or two coming your way. Is it perhaps something that's relocated them because of that?
Yeah. Here's the quote from Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. Quote, those buses will continue to roll until we finally secure our border.
That's right.
I love it.
He is sending he's sending a portion of the new illegal immigrants who come across the border right now to Chicago just to make sure that the Democrats know what they're causing. I mean, this is a tiny portion of the people coming across the border that are going to be in Chicago, and it's going to create mass problems for Chicago.
This is, I think the people of Chicago hate this, but you know what I noticed too? This is kind of interesting. It seems, I don't know how prepared Chicago is for this. So one of the local stories here in Detroit was that the Michigan State Police were asked to help with crowd control for the Republican National Convention in Wisconsin. So they were in Milwaukee, and normally they put a request out, hey, we need some extra people. Can you mind sending a few? And then, you know, all these different states respond and they decide to do it. They noted that Chicago didn't ask for help. So if that's the case, if they're going to handle it themselves, they may be way understaffed. Actually, probably more understaffed than a field in Pennsylvania where the former president was, very very much understaffed when it came to the Secret Service protection that should have been afforded to him to begin with. So I think the DNC is going to have some major issues if they're talking about tens of thousands of extra people coming for this.
This is a solid strategy. It's not as if this is new. They're just saying, why don't we go send him to Chicago for now instead of to other places? Because, as we've noted, that Kamala Harris was made the border czar by the Obama administration. And if you're on the left and you hear me say that and you say, No. She was not made the border czar. Well, then you haven't been paying attention to what's come out this morning, that multiple outlets, when that happened, reported that she was the border czar, quote unquote. Axios said it, among other outlets. And now they're trying to say, the same outlet is now trying to say, well, border czar isn't the term that they use. Well, it's the term you used. So
I think she prefers minister of the border.
Sure, whatever it is. But I think they've got to do this because they have to make sure that this issue, because it just kind of keeps being swept under the rug. Like, even when we talk about this issue, it's no smaller deal today than it was last week or the last time it was a headline news story. It is still a huge news story. It's still happening, and nothing's being done about it. So it's hard to continue to report, well, things are still bad, because that would be the report.
Well, listen, you know, if things were so bad, I think I would hear about it on the news more.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, sorry that the president almost being shot took a precedent for a little while, or the Democrat nominee for president, who is currently the president, dropped out of the race,
yeah,
and it's not making news for a little while.
So how much effort did she put into the border before she became the nominee, and how much effort will she put in after, and is it equal?
Yeah, yeah. If you think
probably equal.
That's another thing. Speaking of all the homeless issues and all these things, you know, we mentioned it yesterday, Ryan Recker, I think it was Brad Young filling in yesterday. We talked about the homeless issue. It's worse in every city, and not just downtowns of cities. We're talking about suburbs. You know, it is now in areas. The homeless problem has gotten so bad in areas where it never was before. And my question to you is, if you're a voter, do you think that that problem is going to get better under 4 years of Vice President Kamala Harris? Or do you think that problem is just going to get worse? I don't know what Trump's going to be able to do about it. He's going to do something, but she's going to make it worse. Where the problems you're experiencing now, double them in 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard there was a new strategy at the southern border, and this is just a rumor. You know, sometimes I see these on social media, and I don't know if they're true. They were going to set up speakers and then play her cackle on a loop to discourage people from crossing the line. Do you think that'll work?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. I haven't seen that one. Before we get to the top,
I might have just made that up.
Yeah, I'm like, we'll see. Like that sound that they're supposed to play that's called the brown noise that people have said, I don't know if that's actually real. The military has something called the brown noise, and people are like, no, they don't.
I think South Park did that, and that's it.
Exactly. Exactly. Last one before we get to the top here, regarding the DNC in Chicago. Now, this one was a couple weeks ago, but I thought, since we're here, might as well bring it up. This is from Fox News. Dem mayor, as in Brandon Johnson, blasted for ridiculously blaming deceased GOP president for deadly July 4th weekend gun violence. Have you seen this?
Maybe.
The op-ed that was written by the New York Post about this is in regards to, so 100 people were injured and 19 people were killed by getting shot Chicago over July 4th weekend. It's big enough. Now, that stuff happens all the time, yeah, but that was a high number.
Yeah.
And so Brandon Johnson, the mayor, had to address it. And so in addressing it, he blamed Richard Nixon.
Why? Why do people put up with this nonsense? Like, he's lying to you, to your face, and he thinks you're stupid. I'm going to just say Richard Nixon, that Republican, it's his fault. And
why?
That'll be like, good enough.
The logic? Why do you say that?
Okay, so in his logic, he says, well, this started because the civil rights movement wasn't allowed to proceed in the right way because of Richard Nixon.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
So,
Yes. I wouldn't say that at all. Actually, that is not historically accurate at all.
Well, hey, you're preaching the choir here.
Right. Ryan's running through his...
Wait a minute. That doesn't even make any sense, though. Yeah, Richard Nixon, the op-ed says, Richard Nixon didn't shoot 109 and kill 19 in Chicago. Brandon Johnson says this op-ed in the New York Post, which I thought really summed it up well. And there you go. That's what you're going to experience, maybe just a little taste of it, during the DNC. Why they picked Chicago, I have no idea, but they did.
Celebratory gunfire after they nominate Kamala Harris officially. Perhaps the reason why they can do that and get away with it. Got another couple hours of the Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker. Fill in and don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk. But then I know. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. You can find me online, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook, or at Ryan Recker on Twitter. Go vote in that YouTube poll. But whenever I get to fill in, I really much enjoy this segment. It's with Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
Yeah, so the DNC, the Democrat National Convention, will be in a couple weeks. And the speculation was, oh, we're going to have an open primary. You know, then this is the headline news of the day, that the Rules Committee for the Democratic National Convention will meet Wednesday, as in today, to formalize the nomination process for the presidential nominee, which is going to be Kamala Harris. That's my editorial add to this. The article doesn't say that. All of this comes less than a month from the start of the DNC in Chicago. And as we were speculating, it does look like they're not going to have any floor votes or anything. By the time we actually see the presentation, it will all be done, because 2 weeks from today is August 7th. They're going to have the roll call vote done by then. So we will have an official DNC or a Democrat nominee sometime probably before August 7th. So there's your headline.
That's because of the deadline in Ohio?
Yeah, it has to do with making sure she gets on the ballot in Ohio mainly, because it was barely going to miss the deadline. So it's that stuff. But they had talked about delaying it anyway. I think Ohio is going to play ball with them, but whatever. So it's going to be in Chicago in less than a month. It's going to be headline news, just like we just did the RNC all week last week. We'll be covering the DNC that week. And I wanted to dig in, Ryan Recker, into a few stories that may actually be running parallel to whatever's happening on the stage. You ready for these?
Sure. Here's one parallel before you start, if you don't mind. You know, the Democrats will show up to Chicago and they'll say, oh, those anti-Israel protesters unleashed maggots and crickets in the hotels here, too. And they'll say, oh, no, that's just what happens in Chicago.
Those are just Chicago.
That's the only parallel right now. Yeah. No, that's... that's
yeah.
just Chicago. Yeah, no, it probably wasn't protesters.
We just left a roast chicken in the trash can too long. So we got maggots, you know? That's just what happens. So that is not one of the stories, surprisingly. And it has nothing to do, because the protesters, the anti-Israel protesters, could very much be a part of this, but that's not one of my stories. So I'm glad you brought that one up. How about this one?
Okay.
Ahead, and this is from the Chicago Sun-Times, so I'm doing a lot of local news here. Ahead of the DNC, Brandon Johnson is putting homeless people back on the street to make room for different homeless people.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, so I don't understand. So the homeless that are there are privileged, so they need to get a privilege check?
So I'll read it to you, and then I'll explain if it doesn't come across. Mayor Brandon Johnson's administration is putting unhoused people, I like that they're being politically correct, unhoused people back on the streets to make room for relocated tent encampment occupants who are being moved before the Democrat National Convention next month. So if you can read between the lines here, what's happening is anybody who is homeless near where the DNC is going to be, they're getting moved. Well, to do that, they have to kick other homeless people out of homeless shelters to put the new homeless people in them.
He's like a 14-year-old cleaning his room. Just stuff everything in the closet and close the door.
Yes.
Well, they're going to have to. You're smart. Hey, homeless people, if you're smart, go from the shelter and just set up camp by the DNC, because they'll put you right back in that shelter. You just have to relocate yourself.
Exactly.
And then relocate you in a shelter.
Yeah. More than a half dozen people told the Chicago Sun-Times that they were thrown out or fear they're about to be ejected from a shelter in a former hotel off the Magnificent Mile as city officials begin to clear a highly visible tent city abutting the Dan Ryan Expressway. So there you go. There's your first one. If you're curious as to how the city's going to handle the DNC, it really reminds you of when Governor Gavin Newsom of Chicago cleaned up California ahead of the president or the dictator of China showing up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Oh, that's exactly what it is. The dictator of the DNC is coming to town. You got to clean things up.
That's right, because she was not selected. She was selected. She wasn't elected. All right, the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, based on that. Just another problem that may be cropping up here in the next couple weeks. This is from the Chicago Tribune. Chicago leaders brace for as many as 25,000 new migrants ahead of the DNC. We just need to be prepared, is what the headline says. Chicago is bracing for as many as 25,000 illegal immigrants. I said illegal immigrants. The article says migrants. So, sorry about that. To arrive by bus ahead of the Democrat National Convention by August 19th, the high-end estimate from Deputy Mayor of Immigration Beatrice Ponce de Leon came as Mayor Brandon Johnson's administration defended its policy of evicting migrants who stay in city shelters longer than 60 days. The reason that this is happening, do you know why this is happening? 25,000 new illegal immigrants might be showing up in Chicago, Ryan Recker?
Well, is it to have maybe Texas is saying, you know what, we got another busload or two coming your way. Is it perhaps something that's relocated them because of that?
Yeah, here's the quote from Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. Quote, those buses will continue to roll until we finally secure our border.
That's right.
I love it.
He is sending he's sending a portion of the new illegal immigrants who come across the border right now to Chicago just to make sure that the Democrats know what they're causing. I mean, it's again, this is a tiny portion of the people coming across the border that are going to be in Chicago, and it's going to create mass problems for Chicago.
This is I think the people of Chicago hate this. But you know what I noticed, too? This is kind of interesting. It seems, I don't know how prepared Chicago is for this. So one of the local stories here in Detroit was that the Michigan State Police were asked to help with crowd control for the Republican National Convention in Wisconsin. So they were in Milwaukee, and normally they put a request out, hey, we need some extra people. Can you mind sending a few? And then, you know, all these different states respond and they decide to do it. They noted that Chicago didn't ask for help. So if that's the case, if they're going to handle it themselves, they may be way understaffed, actually probably more understaffed than a field in Pennsylvania where the former president was, very much understaffed when it came to the Secret Service protection that should have been afforded to him to begin with. So I think the DNC is going to have some major issues if they're talking about tens of thousands of extra people coming for this.
This is a solid strategy. It's not as if this is new. They're just saying, why don't we go send them to Chicago for now instead of to other places? Because, as we've noted, that Kamala Harris was made the border czar by the Obama administration. And if you're on the left and you hear me say that and you say, No. She was not made the border czar. Well, then you haven't been paying attention to what's come out this morning, that multiple outlets, when that happened, reported that she was the border czar, quote unquote. Axios said it among other outlets. And now they're trying to say, the same outlet is now trying to say, well, border czar isn't the term that they use. Well, it's the term you used. So
I think she prefers minister of the border.
Sure, whatever it is. But I think they've got to do this because they have to make sure that this issue, because it just kind of keeps being swept under the rug. Like even when we talk about this issue, it's no smaller deal today than it was last week or the last time it was a headline news story. It is still a huge news story. It's still happening, and nothing's being done about it. So it's hard to continue to report, well, things are still bad, because that's what would be the report.
Well, listen, if things were so bad, I think I would hear about it on the news more.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, sorry that the president almost being shot took precedent for a little while, or the Democrat nominee for president, who is currently the president, dropped out of the race, and it's not making news for a little while.
So how much effort did she put into the border before she became the nominee, and how much effort will she put in after, and is it equal?
Yeah, Yeah, if you think
probably equal.
That's another thing. Speaking of all the homeless issues and all these things, you know, we mentioned it yesterday. Ryan Recker, I think it was Brad Young filling in yesterday. We talked about the homeless issue. It's worse in every city, and not just downtowns of cities. We're talking about suburbs. You know, it is now in areas. The homeless problem has gotten so bad in areas where it never was before. And my question to you is, if you're a voter, do you think that that problem is going to get better under 4 years of Vice President Kamala Harris? Or do you think that problem is just going to get worse? I don't know what Trump's going to be able to do about it. He's going to do something, but she's going to make it worse. Where the problems you're experiencing now, double them in 4 years.
Yeah. I heard there was a new strategy at the southern border, and this is just a rumor. You know, sometimes I see these on social media, and I don't know if they're true. They were going to set up speakers and then play her cackle on a loop to discourage people from crossing the line. Do you think that'll work?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. I haven't seen that one. Before we get to the top.
I might have just made that up.
I'm like, we'll see. Like that sound that they're supposed to play that's called the brown noise that people have said, I don't know if that's actually real. The military has something called the brown noise, and people are like, no, they don't.
I think South Park did that, and that's it.
Exactly. Exactly. Last one before we get to the top here, regarding the DNC in Chicago. Now, this one was a couple weeks ago, but I thought, since we're here, might as well bring it up. This is from Fox News. Dem mayor, as in Brandon Johnson, blasted for ridiculously blaming deceased GOP president for deadly July 4th weekend gun violence. Have you seen this?
Maybe.
The op-ed that was written by the New York Post about this is in regards to, so 100 people were injured and 19 people were killed by getting shot in Chicago over July 4th weekend. It's big enough. Now, that stuff happens all the time, but that was a high number.
Yeah.
And so Brandon Johnson, the mayor, had to address it. And so in addressing it, he blamed Richard Nixon.
Why? Why do people put up with this nonsense? Like, he's lying to you, to your face, and he thinks you're stupid. I'm going to just say Richard Nixon, that Republican, it's his fault. And that'll be good enough.
The logic? Why do you say that?
Okay, so in his logic, he says, well, this started because the civil rights movement wasn't allowed to proceed in the right way because of Richard Nixon.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
So,
I wouldn't say that at all. Actually, that is not historically accurate at all.
Well, hey, you're preaching the choir here.
Ryan's running through his...
Wait a minute. That doesn't even make any sense, though. Yeah, Richard Nixon, the op-ed says, Richard Nixon didn't shoot 109 and kill 19 in Chicago. Brandon Johnson says this op-ed in the New York Post, which I thought really summed it up well. And there you go. That's what you're going to experience. Maybe just a little taste of it during the DNC. Why they picked Chicago, I have no idea, but they did.
Celebratory gunfire after they nominate Kamala Harris officially. Perhaps the reason why they can do that and get away with it. Got another couple hours of the Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker. Fill in. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.